July 21st, 1908. The Spirit of Lawbreakers and How to Meet It. Ellen G. White. The Jewish nation would not receive the light which Christ brought to them. The wonderful evidences of his messiahship which he gave and the miracles he performed in healing the sick and raising the dead, instead of softening their hearts and overcoming their wicked prejudices, inspired them with such hatred and fury as Satan possessed when he was thrust out of heaven. The greater the light and evidence that they had, the greater was their hatred. And finally, they determined to extinguish the light by putting Christ to death. The law of God is the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. And those who hate that law are on the same ground as the unbelieving Jews. They will not admit the claims of that law, nor open their eyes or consciences to the evidences on this subject. In many cases, they are in as hopeless a state as were the Jews in their rejection of Christ. How did Christ meet the opposers and cavilers in his day? He went about doing good. Benevolence was the life of his soul, and the eternal welfare of sinners regulated his conduct. He not only did good to all who came to him soliciting his mercy, but he perseveringly sought out those who needed his ministrations. He ate and lodged with the rich and the poor, and made himself familiar with the occupations of men. Thus he disarmed prejudice and gained access to hearts. In the subjects he presented and his manner of teaching, Christ met the needs of every class of his hearers. He availed himself of every opportunity to give instruction on the heavenly doctrines and precepts which should be incorporated into the lives of the people, and which should make them distinct from all other religionists because of their holy, elevated character. The most learned and intellectual were charmed with his discourses, which were yet so plain and simple as to be comprehended by the humblest minds. The Savior was never elated by applause, nor dejected by censure or disappointment. When he met with the greatest opposition and the most cruel treatment, he was of good courage. One of the most important discourses inspiration has given us, Christ preached to only one listener. As he sat by the well to rest, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and he saw an opportunity to reach her mind, and through her to reach the minds of the Samaritans, who were in great darkness and error. Although weary, he presented the truths of his spiritual kingdom, which charmed the heathen woman, and filled her with admiration for Christ. She went out, publishing the news. "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Her testimony converted many to a belief in Jesus as the Messiah, and through her report, many came to hear for themselves and believed because of his own word. The teachers of divine truth should carefully study the life of Christ and the practical lessons he taught on true godliness and right living for all who should believe on his name. They should be imbued with the spirit of their great example and have a high sense of the sacred life of a follower of Christ. Here is a field of study for the Bible student that he cannot possibly be interested in without having the spirit of the divine teacher in his own heart. Here are subjects which Christ presented to all classes, and thousands of people of every stamp of character, of every grade of society, were attracted and charmed with the matter brought before them. The truth of God is plain and conclusive. It is harmonious, and in contrast with error, shines with clearness and beauty. Its consistency commends it to every heart that is not filled with prejudice. The sacred book, inspired by God and written by holy men, is a perfect standard of doctrine and character, and a guide under all circumstances of life. It sets forth distinctly the duties of both old and young. If it is allowed to influence the life, its teachings will lead the soul upward. It will elevate the mind, improve the character, and give peace and joy to the heart. The days are evil. Wickedness prevails. Therefore, there is the greater need that Christ should now be faithfully represented to the world as a mighty Savior, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The men and women whom we daily meet are judgment-bound. They will either live to offer praise to God and the Lamb through ceaseless ages, or they will perish with the wicked. Christ suffered and died that they might enjoy a blissful eternity. What sacrifices are we willing to make for their salvation?